You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. We're about to break it down during your lunch break. This is Hockey Central at Noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Inching our way up towards free agency on Friday. This is Hockey Central at Noon. Looking forward to discussing the likes of Steven Stamkos today. What's happening with some qualifying offers around the National Hockey League. And there's action in Edmonton with the Oilers as we are in the midst of the discussion window. Darren Millard here in the Hockey Central studio. Thanks for being with us on the NHL Network, Sportsnet, the Sportsnet app, along with Chris Johnston and John Shannon. Let's start with Steven Stamkos. And where this is going and what the possibilities are, because it's an evolving situation. It has been for the better part of a year, many twists and turns, but there's an article up on sportsnet.ca, Chris, that you have recently posted. And just take us through what the ramifications are and the different elements about what we're looking at.
Well, with Steven, I think because this is seemingly played out in slow motion, his sort of drive towards free agency, I think most people are focused on Friday at noon when he becomes officially an unrestricted free agent. But, you know, there's a scenario here, I believe, where he's moved ahead of that and that this finds a resolution for a number of reasons. First of all, the only way he can ever sign an 8-year deal with anybody, including Tampa, is if that deal is done by Thursday evening. Even if he were, just in a theoretical sense, to hit free agency July 1st for an hour, dip his toe in the water and go back and sign with the Lightning, the most he could sign is a 7-year contract. So this has some value for him. I think for the Lightning, if they recognize they're going to lose him, trading him, signing him to that 8-year deal and doing a sign-in trade and getting an asset back makes some sense for them. And finally, even for the team that's acquiring him, I think that there is a reason to argue that for them it might be better to have him on an 8-year deal rather than a 7-year deal, which is the most they could have him on the open market, just because they could spread the cap hit out a little bit more.
Okay, so what's that timeline on Thursday?
So I think it's 11:59 p.m. Yeah. Eastern time Thursday night. So, you know, I'm making the point that we're all focused on Friday, but don't be surprised if we hear about a trade and a signing of Steven Stamkos prior to that.
I actually think there'll be more trades between now and Thursday at midnight, just because I think people are trying to...
Of negotiation rights?
Well, not, maybe not necessarily...
Because the discussion window's open.
The discussion window's, but it's beyond free agency. It's also being in a position by Friday to have enough money to go and bid for free agents. So there are teams that are going to try to fix their problem through trade, and then be able to go into the free agent world and make a bigger splash. The Stamkos one is an interesting one. I'm a little cynical on it. I don't know why Steve Yzerman, who has enough assets, why he would feel inclined to do that. I mean, his issues right now are beyond Stamkos, of making sure he has enough money to sign some of his younger stars. So does he really need and want an asset back that becomes another cost to him at some point?
Well, it could be an asset without a cost.
Right.
So first-round pick, just to throw one out. I mean, the one thing about this, we've never seen a sign and trade in a true sense in the NHL. So there's no price here. I mean, there's no market. I mean,
we're kind of guessing at
what the return would be. But, I mean, Steve Yzerman, as he said numerous times, his job is to do what's best for the Lightning, and I think it's hard to argue that if he can get something back that doesn't hurt him cap-wise, you know, that's better than nothing if Stamkos is going to walk.
I don't disagree. To me, the issues that are going forward, a stagnant cap, an expansion draft, signing pending restricted and unrestricted free agents for that organization in the next year or 2 years, there are points where you'd say maybe I don't want to be burdened with anything more. I mean, it's
hard to believe, though, if you were offered a first or a second, that you wouldn't take that on.
I tell you what, if he was able to turn Steven Stamkos' contract for 2 days into a first round pick, I'd be amazed. I really would. I think that might be a little high cost.
That could be high, but I wouldn't rule out, because of what I've outlined, there's a fit here for all three potential sides
sure.
for this to work. And I believe, you know, one thing, I mean, we know the talk would happen without the interview period, but the interview period has made it very transparent what can be discussed. And really, you know, he put it this way, guys. I've heard that Steven Stamkos has started paring down his list of suitors, that it's not as wide open as maybe some of us reported or led to believe. And, you know, if he does get down to one or two, this is something that makes a lot of sense.
Let's get into this. We're now into day four of the discussion window. We're following some players all over the place. And we'll get into the Edmonton Oilers just a little bit and what they're doing. So where is Steven Stamkos? Is he popping around visiting these teams? Are they popping in, visiting him? What do we really know about what's happening with Steven Stamkos? And really,
John's looking at me.
Yeah, no.
Well,
it to me, it's very little.
Well, let's remember who his agents are, and they have in the past run an open house out of their offices at Mississauga.
The Parise situation was like that.
Brad Richards. Yeah. I mean, there's been a ton of them that have.
That was before the negotiating period or the discussion window.
But there's nothing to say that can't continue. The one key thing in all of this in the Stamkos discussion that we haven't talked about too is how do they solve the insurance issue? What will be the insurance issue in this? Are you allowed to do physicals in the window?
I don't think so, but I'm not certain.
But so how much of a concern to any of the new teams? And obviously, it doesn't sound like there are. How much of a concern is the blood clot issue?
Steven Stamkos and his agency could do a physical and give those results.
Yes, they could.
That would be a way around that.
But at the same time, you want your own doctors. Mm-hmm. Finding somebody independent would make some sense.
You know what I mean? It's very quiet around what we know about who's in, who's out, who's making
it's been
visits,
quiet for
who's
a
making
year.
Pitches to the Newport Group.
I mean, that's what's amazing. For an entire year, so little concrete information from either side, the Lightning or the Stamkos camp, has gotten out, and you know this has continued to be the same. But you know, there is some murmurs out there
Who do we think is in?
Well, we think Detroit is in. We know Buffalo's in based on what Tim Murray said Saturday afternoon.
He put all the chips in the middle of the table.
Jim Benning talked on Thursday that he was certainly going to talk to them, although, I mean, I'm not sure how realistic a Vancouver signing of Stamkos is. I mean, Toronto's in.
Is Boston? I've heard Boston's name out there.
Well, Boston, Montreal, and Rangers, we've all heard their names. I mean, so if you're talking, Chris, about them paring the list down, are we talking about...
So we're talking seven teams there. And Tampa, eight.
So are we talking about them paring it down to, you know, the three on the Great Lakes? Detroit, Buffalo, Toronto?
It could be, although I must say, someone whispered in my ear that there's an under-the-radar team that's making a strong push. And I honestly haven't been able to figure it out. Obviously, I put a few guesses forth and didn't get anywhere.
Not Florida?
Florida, I don't believe, is in there. I don't think the Panthers are... I mean, they're doing everything that seems this offseason, but I don't think that it goes to him. So, you know, I think that... Let's not be surprised if someone comes out of nowhere. I'm just saying that sentiment's floating out there as well. But, you know, this hits on your point there, though. So little actual, factual... concrete information. I mean, it's crazy. That's why I'm telling you, don't rule out the sign and trade. I really feel that it could be headed in that direction.
What are the odds of him returning to the Tampa Bay Lightning? Let's go back to the beginning, and maybe that's the best way to try and handicap this situation.
Well, I mean, what is Stamkos' goal in all of this? Is it to move closer to family, come back to his hometown?
Money.
Money. There are, again...
A Stanley Cup.
Well, winning is important, and providing leadership, playing center. How important is that to this? I mean, that somebody promises them a position to play center. I mean, all of these... All the organizations we're talking about, particularly Detroit, Buffalo, and Toronto, have something to offer him, and they in turn are in a position to say, listen, be part of our rebuild. Buffalo and Toronto, you know, offer Stamkos a role, a long-term role, a mentorship role. They have deep pockets. You know, Detroit has the new arena coming. I mean, could you imagine him being the...
But is that a selling tool?
It's a selling tool from the perspective internally within the Red Wing organization to give him enough money, yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily a... I think that when you look at...
It's better than playing in the Joe, but...
Well, no, I think that it. When you talk about we're retooling, we're rebuilding, look at the speed we have, and we're going into a new building. I mean, we're talking about, we can't discount it. Edmonton's using it as a sale point too, with their arena opening in October. So from that perspective, I think that anything's possible.
But one of the most intriguing aspects of this whole thing is that Tampa Bay makes the most sense for those of us not in his shoes making that decision.
Yes.
I mean, the tax situation, the fact that, you know, we know he loves playing there and living there. He's got lots of friends on the team. They came within a couple games of winning the Stanley Cup each of the last 2 years. I mean, it has everything for him, except arguably maybe the big money offer that's looming out there from someone else. But, you know, what's so interesting about this, he's not turning his back on a bad organization if he leaves. I mean, it's got to be gut-wrenching for him, even if, again, this has been playing out, and obviously him and Damien have been over all these scenarios over months and months and months. But it's a tough choice to leave the Tampa Bay Lightning, no matter where he signs. And there's a possibility he regrets it.
And truthfully, I mean, what Stamkos is doing is exercising his right under the collective bargaining agreement. I mean, this is not a case of saying, well, I don't like it there. This is what, and he's the first.
Not a lot of guys in his shoes do it, John. That's nobody, what, basically.
Well, he's the first 26-year-old to be of this ilk, really, right? Because of the way the contracts worked, the way that when the CBA was signed, he just happened to be the youngest guy under a long-term contract, so as a 26-year-old, he became an unrestricted free agent. It's been unheard of in our game.
Darren Millard, along with John Shannon and Chris Johnson on Hockey Central at noon this Tuesday ahead of Friday's free agency. A new article posted on Sportsnet.ca by Chris explores the possibilities of a sign-and-trade for the first time in the National Hockey League in the free agent scenario. You mentioned dark horses. I want your dark. I'm not going to hold you to it. This is three guys sitting at the bar at 9:30 at night, because we do have to work in the morning. So before we go home, everybody gets to throw out their dark horse, and I'm going to be absolutely upfront and say there's no factual sense behind it other than gut feeling and where you see a potential fit.
Yeah.
So I will. Do you want to go first, John?
Sure.
Okay.
St. Louis. I think when you consider that the money that they're going to relieve themselves with the David Backes contract, I think that when you see how the team is trying to retool itself, Doug Armstrong has never been shy to go out and do a deal. Doug Armstrong has a very strong relationship with Steve Yzerman. To me, when you think about sign and trade, when you think about working behind the scenes, I think that number one center in St. Louis is Steven Stamkos wouldn't be a bad fit.
So this is what I'm getting tripped up by since we're going down this road. Yeah. I was told that the dark horse team...
Do you want another one before we go?
What's that?
We're three guys at the bar.
Okay.
Do you want another
sure.
one? Okay.
Three more, please. This round's on Millard.
Right. Three more. Okay.
So thanks, I was told that as a hint that the dark horse team was in a warm weather market, which is one of the reasons that, you know, obviously I was fished around and don't think it's Florida. But then if you go through the other ones, you know, there's not an aching need and a $10 to $12 million window to fit them in. I mean, Arizona would be the only one that would have the money, I don't see that being the
idea,
fit.
Hey, that's the one, right?
I mean...
And John Chyka has been extremely aggressive in his first go-around through a draft and this period.
It's a long shot, but maybe that's the dark horse that's looming out there that no one's really been talking about.
Well, would that not just set everybody on their
just
ear?
A minute.
So, the team that has Pavel Datsyuk and Chris Pronger contracts.
Yeah. So you'd have $24 million in one player playing for you. when you think about it.
Yeah.
With those three contracts.
I mean, the flip side.
Datsuk, you're not really paying. It's just cap hit, but.
That's the great thing about the Datsuk thing. Well, Pronger, they're paying a small amount, right? Datsuk, it's literally $0 out of the door. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not reporting this. It's very clear.
No.
This
again,
is three guys at a
again.
Bar.
Hey, Brent, but what's going on? We ordered three more. I'm gonna go with the New York Islanders.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna
the Tavares Stamkos.
The Tavares Stamkos, new owners taking control of that team on July 1st, and I'll just go down that path right now. And there's no rumors, no nothing about the New York Islanders. Just a bit of a gut feeling and a potential fit there. So I'm not holding you. If you want to tweet to me at Darren Millard. And give me your dark horse for no reason other than maybe you're a fan or you see a fit there. But there's three other ones. But the warm weather one, you immediately go Florida just because of the geographical tie-in.
But I'll tell you what, Jimmy Neal has been as aggressive as anybody in the last couple of years too.
He's got a couple good centers already, but
that would be awesome.
But. And
9-8 every game.
Give Tom Gilardi credit, the owner there. Tom Gilardi has given the green light on a daily basis, and make no mistake about it. I mean, I saw Tom both days at the draft having a good time. I mean, he loves playing in the sandbox.
The Stars also, Texas has the same income tax.
Right.
No state income tax availability as Florida. So,
you never know. Next thing you know, we're going to name all 30 teams.
You're the only one that's gone to two teams.
No, I was just, but I didn't know the warm weather hint, you know?
Well, I didn't think we were going to just outright speculate for 10 minutes.
No, that's,
so.
That's the cool part of this.
Well, this is, I mean, we've never.
There's so little available Normally, I would say, no, let's try and keep it in-house. But if it's going to be so tight-lipped, let's have some fun with it and be upfront that. Of what we're doing.
So let's forget sign and trade for now. What's to suggest that Stamkos will sign at 12:01 at noon on January or July 1st? Why wouldn't he wait?
Okay, he's cut off. Okay? because now he's going to have us in here at midnight on Thursday.
I'm just being logical. Why, if there's enough suitors, why jump quickly? Or will you know, I mean, and are there going to be offers and counter offers?
You got to
listen.
There's stuff going back. No, you can't actually negotiate, right?
You're not supposed to during this period.
But let's
talk about hypotheticals of players that wear large numbers that play center and wing and go and play in Florida. I mean, how much money do you think a player like that would deserve? Right? I mean, the hypotheticals are, and in theory, once you get both sides agreeing that you're dealing in hypotheticals. But why does Stamkos have to sign on Friday? I don't think he does.
Well, the market is going to wait for him.
That's right.
He's not going to dry up on him. He is the market, essentially.
And he sets the market
for
everyone else. And respectfully to guys like Kyle Pozo and Milan Lucic and Louis Eriksson, if there are teams that are in
Andrew Ladd, Eric Staal,
if there are teams in a similar predicament of saying, okay, we only have so many amount of dollars, but we think we're in the Stamkos thing, they're going to have to wait. They have to wait on everybody. And
that's just going to clog up the market.
Well, maybe the odd team will get a feel that they're not really in and bail.
I don't think Edmonton's in on Stamkos.
The heavy suitors will be forced, if they're really serious, to wait.
Yeah.
If that's what they desire to do. But, you know, I would think after all of this, all the prep, I mean, I'm not saying he's in
a rush. Year.
But, you know, I'm guessing right now they probably have a good idea where it's going.
Donnie Meehan, Newport, Steven. You owe it to us at noon on Friday after a year.
I still wonder with you, though. Why?
Because you've done it to me today, and you just did it to Chris. When we say something that you totally disagree with, you just pause, you ignore it,
and
then you keep on going.
I learned that from Doug.
Doug doesn't even listen, though. He just goes.
What? I also have to wonder about the blood clots. I'm sorry, you really do. You have to. When will there be clarity or closure on the blood clot issue when you're putting up, in theory, close to $100 million? Can you insure it?
Yeah.
Can you? I mean, all you have to do, guys, is point at the Nathan Horton contract. And that wasn't blood clots.
Very different circumstances, though.
Why? Columbus knew, Columbus, when they signed him, they knew he wasn't going to play till December. They knew he was damaged goods. Then they chose not to insure it.
There's no suggestion here that Steven Stamkos won't play in September at the World Cup. I mean, he's not damaged goods.
But are you telling me that blood clots can't recur? Do we know enough about it? And
he had a very specific type of blood clot that lots of players have never had recur, though. With it being in the up near his collarbone, like Andrei Vasilevskiy, his teammate.
I guess we're gonna get some clarity on it at some point. I mean, I'm sure he says he's 100% healthy, but what does it take? What does it take long term in year two of the contract for something to recur, or is that even possible? I mean, if you're investing in something like that, you have to be concerned about that, don't you think?
I'm sure they're asking that question, of course.
To Twitter, oh, some guy thinks that we're nerds because we have to leave the bar at 9:30.
It's a.m.
Yeah. Hey, we have kids.
A.m.
Gotta get them. Anaheim. Matt says Anaheim. Stamkos to the Sens. There's been a couple of Stamkos to the Sens. I mean, it goes against everything, the Eugene Melnyk, to pay a max out a player because you'd have to pay so much money.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Dallas Stars.
I'm going out on a limb. He's not going to Ottawa.
So we're down to 29 teams.
How about Philadelphia?
30 if you count Vegas.
He's not going to Edmonton either.
Philadelphia Flyers. There's cap problems with the Philadelphia Flyers. San Jose. A couple of votes for San Jose. It's Minnesota.
Are you
going to
just sit there and read tweets?
Yeah. Well, I invited people to send in their ideas. If we're going to play this game, I want to include everybody.
The point that you're underlining here, though, Darren.
Come on down. And you're buying the first round at the bar,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Who's the last free agent that virtually everyone would have taken? I mean, there's just no precedent for this. That's what I think is interesting. And that's why, you know, once we move beyond our own speculation, if you can put yourself in Steven's shoes for a minute, I mean, it's a great position, but it's a difficult one too. There's so many pros and cons to be weighed in all factors. You can just go round and round and around and just imagine, you know, what would be the best fit for him. And I'm not sure there's a right answer.
The Richards.
Brad Richards was.
And the teams lining up with their presentations.
Was close. Brad Richards was close.
And didn't Richards, wasn't there like wine.
Guitars.
And golf. Yeah. And
it was
a true wine and dine, like in a very literal sense.
I wonder what happens to all that stuff. Now, if you don't sign with that team.
Maybe it's in storage at Newport's offices.
Do you have to give it back? There's some pretty cool stuff that was presented to Brad Richards. Do you you don't really believe he goes beyond Friday at noon? Friday at 1 p.m.
Well, I don't. I mean, I think that. I know you're just worried about the show you have to do, but I don't. I want to know.
Well, I'd like to have some news on the show. That's what I'd like.
Yeah, but that's just being selfish.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
I'm thinking of the viewer too. They tune in. They want some news. They want some excitement.
Maybe it happens. Maybe it's that quick. Remember, we did 1 year of free agency where Brian Murray signed Sergei Gonchar at 12:05. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could do that 5-year deal at 12:05 then, but he did.
Brian was good.
Brian was very good. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, they should just take their time and do it right. And I don't think that there's any urgency for them to be ready at noon on Friday. I really don't.
Just the discussion window opens it up to being able to announce an 8-year deal.
Only with one team right now.
Yep. It's going to be fun to watch.
I'm taking the sign and trade in the pool.
I like it.
So when you open up, Darren, at noon on Friday,
we're going to be at looking, 11, and then we come on, and then we.
Okay,
we,
so at 11, break, yeah. You're going to be looking back rather than ahead because
yeah.
We're going to be analyzing what happened.
What happened last night? The
I think there'll be enough stuff. Now, you're quite confident this side and trade, aren't you?
I'm talking myself into it.
Yeah.
The article is on sportsnet.ca, courtesy of Chris Johnson, the potential of the first ever sign and trade in the National Hockey League, with Steven Stamkos leading the way. When we continue on the other side of this break, action in Edmonton happening right now on the free agent front. We'll tell you who has just landed and the potential of adding that piece to the puzzle of a growing forward core. It's Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, John Shannon, Chris Johnson on Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet app, and the NHL Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thank you for your participation on Twitter to at Darren Millard regarding your dark horse for where Steven Stamkos ends up. 29 teams have been mentioned. Actually, 30. Quebec got a vote. Believe it or not, somebody voted for Quebec. Nothing against Quebec. They just don't have a team. Darren Millard here along with John Shannon and Chris Johnson. So moving on from Steven Stamkos in this free agent week, let's bring up what the Edmonton Oilers are doing right now. And there is a buzz around the Oilers and what they are trying to accomplish, John.
Well, Milan Lucic and Jason Demers are in Edmonton today to talk to Peter Chiarelli and the rest of the Oilers brass. So it will be interesting to see what happens there. Demers obviously would help a porous blue line. And let's face it, Todd McLellan is quite familiar with Demers from his time in San Jose, and I think he would heartily endorse Demers joining the Oilers. This is the one way that Edmonton can improve its defense without actually trading assets. And there's still possibilities even this week that the Oilers trade some assets in order to improve their defense.
Bit surprised to see them come away from the draft not being able to get anything done, and they're far from the only one that falls into that category. You got the sense, John, on the floor there was a lot more want than ability to make those kind of trades. But I really thought Edmonton, they tried, but that they would be able to get a defenseman that way. Interesting point on Lucic. I don't know if you saw our colleague Gene Principe has a stalkerish video, shaky cell phone grade video of him walking through the airport. So we have visual confirmation he's there, not just from words.
Yeah, just to go back to what Chris said, it was
the stalkerish stuff.
No, we've given up on that.
John's cranky.
Friday and Saturday, where we all expected a lot more moves. We heard rumblings all week that there'd be tons of moves on the draft floor.
There was a few.
Yeah, but not near as. I mean, hey, Marc Bergevin did his part. Let's face it.
Calgary.
I thought there'd be more assets moved. I mean, that's not a slight at Andrew Shaw, who I think will be great in Montreal, or Lars Eller. But at the same time, I did think that we'd see bigger bodies move. But I think, in so many ways, this expansion draft has scared everybody. It's a year out. I know it's a year out, but there are people saying, well, we got to make sure that we're in that right spot. The cap really remains stagnant when you think about it. So those two things, I think, changed a lot.
What's scaring people about the expansion draft?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is load up on guys that don't have to be left exposed. So, I mean, the younger players, the first and second year pros, that's why they're not getting rid of draft picks. That's why they're not trading draft picks. That, there would have been, I think, a lot more trades for draft picks and players. And when you look at your inventory of guys, say, okay, where is he in my roster of defensemen and forwards? Is he number 10 or 11 or 12? And all of a sudden you trade for somebody and now you have to expose him a year from now. That's an issue.
Well, put it this way. Let's say Kevin Shattenkirk, whose name is very out there,
sure,
as being available, a player most teams, every team could make space for in terms of putting them in the lineup. If you make that deal, you have to first contemplate what do you pay him, because he has 1 year left on his deal, and you're likely not going to give up the assets Doug Armstrong wants unless you're pretty reasonably assured you're going to extend him. And then you have to be sure that it's not going to complicate your picture of your expansion draft. And again, it's not impossible to overcome those two things, but it's two big hurdles in addition to then haggling over the price of what you want to pay. And lo and behold, you got to make seven picks or whatever you had that weekend, and you're talking to other teams, and you get to Sunday and it's not done. And, you know, I think that's why, John, you're right. This week, there's still a chance some of those conversations bear fruit.
Well, in fact, three managers told me that, you know, we'll just wait till Monday and Tuesday to start talking again. And it's a lot more logical too, when you have a little more clarity. You don't have to worry about your amateur guys barking at you. Don't trade all my picks. I worked all winter to go and find these kids, and the bidding process of scouts saying, take my guy. That two-way street is fascinating to watch at the draft. I mean, I think the Ben Bishop, contract discussions in Calgary were comparable to that, making sure you trade for a body. And, you know, Bishop a year from now would have been an unrestricted free agent. You better make sure you can keep him long term. And Calgary was probably not prepared to go the 7 years that Bishop wanted in Calgary.
Along with Chris Johnson, John Shannon, I'm Darren Millard on Hockey Central at Noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet app on the NHL Network. Vancouver Canucks with a couple of transactions. They waived Chris Higgins, they're buying him out, and signed Emerson Edom to a one-year contract. They're also in the mix for Milan Lucic. Getting back to the big power forward, where do you see him lining up right now? Things got a little nasty with the LA Kings. Look promising for a time, and then it apparently just fell off the rails. But we've got Edmonton, we've got Vancouver, appear to be the two centerpieces. Do you see somebody else fitting in there, John?
I don't.
By the way, that was a pass from Chris with his eyeballs.
Yeah. No, I was going to say the Bruins. I wouldn't rule them out, especially if Louis Erickson ends up testing the market as we expect. I could see, strangely.
You could, huh? I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked. I mean, that's not the direction the Bruins are going now. You know, when you look at how their young guys have come on and how they've improved themselves, I just think Don Sweeney's past it. I could be way off base. You know, there's Cam, you know, Cam's still involved there, and I wonder what that relationship is like between Lucic and Neely. So to me, Boston might be on the list, but I would be I'm not sure that would be either team's first choice.
I think if we're handicapping this, though, Edmonton's got to be.
Oh yeah.
Even ahead, I know Vancouver's his hometown, but. I mean, the chance to go play, if not on his wing, but with Connor McDavid in a new building, as John mentioned. I think Edmonton has a lot of good, for back of a better term, momentum around the organization, and has a lot to sell him on.
Demers and Lucic, both in town today.
Yeah.
If they only get one, who should it be?
Oh, I think they need so much help on defense first.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? If you're going to overpay on Demers or Lucic.
You have to do it on Demers. You have to. I mean, Edmonton is in such dire need on the back end. And when you talk to Oilers fans, they think every team does this. They think they have more than they truly do. But if you look at it from a distance, you know, the ability to improve their defense is their number one priority at this point. By far, I think that when you look at what the bidding war that might be going on between Jim Benning and Peter Chiarelli, guys who worked side by side for so many years, guys that Benning and Chiarelli were part of Lucic's career for how many years?
They all won a cup together.
That's right, and I mean,
and they were playing the same card,
and that Louis Erickson. Let's face it. Louis Erickson was part of the Sagan trade, probably because Jim Benning had scouted him and said, listen, if we're going to get some assets back from Dallas, you know we better get a guy like Louis Erickson. So I sat with Jim on Friday morning, and I said, well, why the – and certainly there's no question they've pegged both Lucic and Erickson as guys they've targeted. To me, I think Troy Brouwer, Andrew Ladd, bring local guys back to Vancouver, I think would be a huge positive for the organization. And this is a team that's really trying to reconnect with the market. And I was hugely impressed with Brouwer in the playoffs. I thought he really did show something that, you know, when he left Chicago, even at times early in Washington, he never showed. But he showed me something in the playoffs, certainly with St. Louis. And I think Andrew Ladd's looking for something that can regenerate. I mean, short of going back to Winnipeg, which I don't think is possible, going to Vancouver for me and bringing two kids who are BC boys back to Vancouver, I think would be important for the franchise. And I think it would make a lot of sense.
Darren Millard, Chris Johnson, John Shannon here in Hockey Central at noon.
Where's Eric Staal end up? Or, I mean, are we going to wait on that one?
We had Ronnie Francis on this program, was it a week ago, yeah. 2 weeks ago? And he didn't give me any impression that the Hurricanes were going to go back down that path.
I don't think
so.
I don't know
where he ends up.
But you also have to remember, Eric's 31, I think. There's a lot of miles on that body. And how effective can he be? I mean, given the second chance in New York, how good was he? And I don't think he was very good for the Rangers.
Would you take a mid-range deal on term to play for Toronto?
Well, I think the question really is, if Eric's willing to take a one-year deal on not a lot of money, he could wind up anywhere with a contender. I mean, I think back to the Brad Richards contract with Chicago, mm-hmm. the year they won the Cup. I mean,
sure.
If he's willing to do that sort of deal
to prove himself again,
basically give up money and security, but you know, have an opportunity to chase a Stanley Cup, there'll be lots of teams.
Curious
in there.
To how much the juices got flowing again when he was back into a playoff race, and then subsequently a Stanley Cup playoff run.
But you know, he's got family considerations, obviously young kids, and you know, I don't know where he stands. I have to be honest. I don't know what is important to him, but he's going to have options. It's just he's kind of in the middle right now. I mean, if he's looking for security, I think the pool's going to dry up. He's not going to have a ton of choice, but if he's willing to really go out there and prove himself, there's no limit to the teams that I think would be in on that.
Some one-timers for you. Alex Chiasson, traded to the Calgary Flames.
Pierre Dorion and Brad Treliving were working on this one all week. You could see it. I think they truly wanted to get it done at the draft. Couldn't get it done. Obviously, something changed that both of them thought it was important, but there was no question that Dorion was intent on getting rid of the contract.
Defenseman Patrick Seeloff goes to Ottawa on the deal.
And Pat Seeloff has never really... There was so much more expected out of him coming out of the draft, and he really just hasn't made that leap to being an NHLer.
Great opportunity, though, for Alex Chiasson to go back with Glenn Gulitzson, who he spent time with in Dallas, signed a $800,000 one-year deal, so it's not onerous on Calgary's cap situation, and I think, you know, for himself, prove himself, because it didn't go well on the big picture in Ottawa.
Andrew Shaw, traded to Montreal the night of the opening round of the NHL draft, and then signs the deal for a half dozen years, almost $24 million.
Well, it was a deal that Chicago couldn't do. And so in order to try to get some assets back, and again, that Chicago-Montreal pipeline, right?
Bergevin, yeah.
Bergevin and Bowman and the relationships that they have. Andrew Shaw is, in my mind, a proven winner. And I think Montreal will be a little feistier. I'm not concerned about his size. I love what he does. And I think that... they are in a much better situation in Montreal now with Shaw in the lineup.
And for that kind of player, that's great security to get a six-year deal because, you know, he doesn't shy away from anything and there's the potential wear and tear over the years. That's the kind of security that kind of guy.
$4 million cap hit?
3.9, yeah. Can't always count on. And
that's a nice number.
He's earned it. I mean, the one thing I think with Chicago, they even talked about an eight-year deal at one point as a way to try to get the cap number down somewhere where it could fit, but... You know, ultimately that didn't make sense, and now him and Brendan Gallagher get to go and be quite a tandem on the Montreal Canadiens.
And you've got to give Stan Bowman credit for knowing how to stay ahead of the curve and stay ahead of the cap, getting rid of Teravainen and getting rid of Bickle's contract, getting rid of Andrew Shaw, maintaining your core, and believing in your core enough that you just work and you complement it with players around it and stay competitive. And I think that that's important. You have to do that more so than any other time in the history of the NHL.
You'll experience this. But Gallagher and Shaw on the ice together will be comparable to a kid's birthday party at the bowling alley, where there's like two balls going down the lane at the same time, and it's just chaos, absolute chaos. And you're just holding your head trying to figure out how you get through that.
Hoping nothing gets broken.
And that's what watching those two on the ice with the Montreal Canadiens
I hope the marketing
like.
Department of the Canadiens can go do a deal with some sort of restaurant company or some group that has the Andrew Shaw, Brendan Gallagher growth charts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and have both guys there, and then you can put your kid in the middle and compare how quickly you can grow between the two.
I love it. Kucherov, Monahan, Goodrow get qualifying offers. No real surprise there. Leafs do not qualify Stuart Percy or Sam Carrick. They move on from those. And we'll wrap up today's show and go into the middle of the week with the Hockey Hall of Fame induction list. And Eric Lindros goes in. Sergei Makarov, Pat Quinn, and Rogi Vachon all get to the get that great call. You'll feel good for Rogi Vachon. I'm not one that thinks the numbers necessarily reflect Hall of Fame numbers when you compare to some of the guys that are still out there, some of the goaltenders that are still out there. Andy Moog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For one.
Yeah. You know, but
is Andy Moog a Hall of Famer?
Was Andy Moog nominated?
I don't know.
See, and that's part of this whole... We can sit here and talk about Moog and Joseph and Chris Osgood. Were they nominated? And there's right now the way the process works. There's not enough transparency for us to not necessarily talk about the guys who aren't in. It's one where you just have to revel in the four that did make it.
Well, will there ever be a day? Do you think that we get there?
Yes.
I think
everything in life is going towards transparency. And that
everything but the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I guess you're right on that. But there is such a cold shoulder towards anything that's not transparent now. Where the first thing you look at is, and I'm not saying this about the Hockey Hall of Fame, but when you don't get transparency, there's always what are you hiding?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to have a real conversation about this. I mean, I wonder about Mark Recchi and Dave Andrechuk, to name two more. I mean, have they been close in the past? Were they close? I mean, yesterday was the day to get in those guys that maybe have been looked over in the past, and that's why you saw Rogi Vachon.
Here's the one thing I would surmise on Andrechuk and Recchi and Paul Kariya, is I wouldn't be surprised if they split the vote and there was enough guys that felt strongly enough about those individuals, and you have to get to a certain level. I think it's 13 votes to carry on. And that there was enough people in the room of the 18 people on the that were voting that one felt strongly about Recchi, and then all of a sudden you had all three of them not making it because the votes were so split.
But it's not like baseball where you can only vote for a couple of guys, is it? A name comes up and you say yes or no.
Well,
and
it is a secret ballot. You do know that.
Yeah. Well, they can only put in, I believe, six inductees a year.
Right.
So
I would guess, without knowing the process,
can't vote more than six.
But not all players either. You can't put six players in.
Right, but you can have six total with
acknowledge,
builders.
Acknowledge Eric Lindros, though.
Oh, well, it's about time.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at the numbers and you look at where he was as far as a Hart Trophy nominee, I was one of those
winner.
Guys. I was one of those guys for the longest time that didn't think he belonged in. And in the last 6 or 8 months, with everything that was said and discussions that were occurred, I changed my vote. If I had a vote, I think it's great that he's in, and I'm happy for him. And again, to me, there's a little bit of closure now on what was right or wrong with Eric Lindros' career.
And what's interesting about Eric is he's carving a legacy even greater maybe than what he accomplished on the ice with what he's doing with his work with concussions, and really was one of the first players in the NHL to put that word into our minds. And, you know, sadly it's become a prevalent one, but I think Eric, very, very deserving. I had no issue.
And
there.
I'm happy for Pat Quinn and Sandra and the family. I think it's just great that, again, when you have personal biases, Pat Quinn is one of the great pillars of our game and was one of the great pillars for a long period of time, and I'm thrilled that Pat Quinn's in the Builders'
Hall of Fame Induction Committee took care of some good business yesterday.
Yes, they did.
And we will look forward to that induction ceremony in the fall. Our thanks to Chris Johnson for stepping in today. John Shannon, the crusty one.
Somebody has to be crusty.
We both picked up on it.
Cranky John Shannon.
Cranky John. He'll be part of our coverage on Friday, free agency.